And I had one wish in this godforsaken life. I wish to be back home with my children and my wife. But my debts keep piling up, so my work ain't ever done. Ain't it so?
Ain't it so?
The road don't make you young.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The new musical adaptation of Water for Elephants, based on the best-selling novel of the same name by Sarah Gruen, opens at Broadway's Imperial Theater tomorrow night. Previews began in late February. The show is directed by Tony Award winner Jessica Stone and features a book by Rick Ellis and music and lyrics by our guests, Pigpen Theater Company. Pigpen Theater Co. individually Alex Fahlberg, Arya Shahi, Ben Ferguson, Curtis Gillen, Dan Weschler, Matt Nirenberger, and Ryan Melia began creating their unique brand of theater, music, and film as freshmen at the Carnegie Mellon School of Drama in 2007. They have since performed, produced, and licensed their original plays in New York City and all over the world. Before being produced in New York, their show The Old Man and the Old Moon was a breakout production at the Williamstown Theater Festival in 2014. The guys also perform as a band. Pigpen Theater Company members Arya, Ben, Curtis, Dan, and Ryan, that's five of the seven if you're keeping track at home, joined me on Zoom to talk about their work and this experience. I began by asking them how Water for Elephants became part of their lives.
We were first introduced to this project by our friend Rick Ellis, who is the book writer for Water for Elephants. We had spent a little bit of time with him developing another show that sadly did not go further than that first workshop, although we still have some great material from it. And so he kept on, you know, checking in with us every couple of months to say, you know, I've got this thing. Basically, we really wanted to work together and we wanted to find the right project. Eventually, he came to us with Water for Elephants, which I know I had read in high school and was a big fan of, and the rest of the group read it and agreed with that opinion. And, you know, we just saw a lot in the story and the world and the, you know, the fabric of this novel that felt like a world we wanted to spend some time in. I don't think we could have anticipated we'd be spending 8 years in it, but we definitely took to the material. You know, the fact that it is set during this period in history where music was just incredibly exciting and also was one of the things that kind of defined the landscape meant that we knew that we would have lots to work on, and that has proven to be true.
Once you agree that it's going to be a project you're going to invest time in, how do you begin creating the music?
Yeah, so I think initially we sat down with Rick in a room, and from the get-go, we really wanted the entire experience to feel like a writer's room and that everyone was sort of there to give input. So we sat down in a room and we kind of outlined what we thought might be the sort of initial musicalization of the novel, and with that outline came sort of scenes and maybe some ideas for what might happen in scenes or things that we might want to change from the novel, but also in the outline there were song spots, and so we said this might be a great place for a song, or this is a scene that sings. And so when we kind of went through that, then we kind of split up and everyone says, okay, maybe I'm going to take a stab at one of those songs or what a feel for what that song might be. And then we bring it back to the group and say, what do we think? And we just kind of go from there. Everyone piles on their thoughts onto that. And then we kind of look at that and say, do we have something here? And if we do, we'll keep working on it. And if we don't, then we set it aside for maybe later. But initially, yeah, it really starts with that sort of outline of what the musical is and finding this sort of musical moments in the landscape of the plot.
I first encountered your work when The Old Man and the Old Moon was produced at the Williamstown Theater Festival, which was 10 years ago this coming summer. And as you know, because I think I've made it abundantly clear, and there's no reason for you to be humble about it. I am a huge fan of your work. So I follow all of you on everything and have been trying to keep track of everything and sometimes have looked at the price of plane tickets to California to see The Tale of Despereaux or something. I didn't make it, but I do want to see that production someday. You guys have been incredibly busy and lots of other projects that I hope we can touch on some of them. How do you feel now that this one, of those many other things we'll delineate, is in previews on Broadway? And was Broadway really ever a specific goal for you as a group or as individuals?
No, yeah, I mean, in a certain sense, it was like, wouldn't that be crazy if that were to happen? And also because we're used to writing shows for ourselves to be in, the likelihood is sort of like it's a kind of a crazy proposition that like a group of, you know, a 7-person group all of a sudden writes a thing for themselves and it all of a sudden becomes feasible to, you know, make its way to Broadway. So this process has been so different than our other processes because we knew we were writing for other people. Mm-hmm. So getting Broadway caliber singers and movers and designers to get on board made it just way more realistic to us. It like slowly became a realistic proposition because the team kept getting bigger and bigger and the people bought into our initial kind of writer's room idea. It was super collaborative still. But yeah, we I don't think we believed it was going to be on Broadway until maybe tomorrow. You know, like we still are kind of, it feels really magical and strange.
Curtis, it looked like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I think what Ryan just said is exactly right. The feeling of like almost disbelief that this is really happening. But yet at the same time, if you look at our faces, you can hear it in our voices, perhaps the work is not over.
Oh, and no.
It doesn't mean that we're able to enjoy all of the fruits.
Oh,
of,
right. No, I didn't mean to imply that was the case.
But in a way, I was able to sort of experience that because I just had literally 40 family members come see the show in previews. And that was a really exciting moment to share this work, to see it on their faces reflected back at me, the pride and the joy and the love and the excitement that they are feeling. For the 7 of us who, you know, our families are our extended families for all of us. We're all both 7 brother friends and also 7 cousins and each other's like, you know, extended families. Mm-hmm. So they've watched us grow, all of our parents. You go, thanks, Mom. You kind of nod your head and accept it. And yet, I think we're all trying to find moments right now to sort of be present while we're giving notes about what song might need a small cut in the show and be present in watching the small tweaks that are being made on all of the show while it's really starting to settle into place. And it's a really exciting, thrilling place to be right now.
So I need to make a note here. Curtis has 40 family members he speaks to. Whew, big flex.
That's on one side of my, that's only one side.
Amazing. I feel like this is not a smooth segue, but I don't want to forget to mention, I feel like you guys are like pals with Richard Branson now or something. Could somebody explain to me that connection and what truly artistic things have happened in that partnership that I know is not directly with Richard Branson.
We did put a cardboard box over his head.
We put his head in a box. That's
forever. No, just kidding.
No. We put it. We that's a really funny question. I mean, you know, I think as you look at the group and like the kind of work that we've made over the past couple of years, our collaboration with Virgin Voyages was so, you know, unique in that it was the first time we as a group have taken on this idea of creating short form theatrical content, like pieces of not even content, just like world building. Like we always loved world building together. When we were in college, we used to make these like 90-second experiences for our friends. And then you flash forward, you know, 12, 13 years, and all of a sudden you have the opportunity to make 90-second experiences for thousands of people on a cruise ship. And I think the same 7 guys that were doing it for their friends in college couldn't resist that temptation. Virgin approached us and asked us to actually just write like a traditional musical for one of their beautiful theaters in their cruise ships. And we pitched them this other idea that felt more aligned with what we thought we would want to experience if we were a passenger on that ship. So yeah, so that was a project we worked on for many years in the around the same time. The workflow of 16 through 2020 was Water for Elephants, The Tale of Despero, and Virgin Voyages. The show was called The Phantom Folktales. So those were kind of like the three children that we were raising at the same time. And it's been really fascinating to see like how they've grown and where they ended up, you know? So, you know, Water for Elephants, I guess, is the Broadway baby of the three. I think the fun part about Pigpen, the endlessly fun part, is that the seven of us are so close and yet we're so different. And I will say, I can proudly be the guy that has wanted us to be on Broadway since maybe we were freshmen in college. I thought we were ready, and everyone was like, "This guy's nuts." And now that we're here, I'm like, "Oh, maybe we are still not ready." It's like, you know, it's a really tremendous experience to want something for so long and then get it, but not really know what it's like. You know, I think that's a big part of us growing older, just as friends, right? Like we've experienced so many firsts together, and it's kind of beautiful to get another first at this stage in our careers because we've been doing it for so long. So in many ways, it's like rejuvenating and re-inspiring to see, you know, what Broadway means to Pigpen. And to have your best friends do it with you is really special.
I'm sure you're tired of talking about this. I'm kind of tired of asking about it, but I am curious and want to know how you as a group navigated the pandemic when everything changed. Not that it's done changing or unchanged now or changed back, not even close, but how did you as a group, how did Pigpen weather that storm?
Well, like the rest of the world, we slowed way down. You know, funny enough, we were in March of 2020 on that cruise ship we were talking about as it was being constructed in an Italian shipyard. So it was kind of a...
I feel like I'm getting a fever from thinking about that. Yeah. Oh my gosh, okay.
Traumatic.
Yeah.
Traumatic is the word you're searching for.
Genuinely, yeah.
It was a weird spot to be and a very strange... It really felt like we spent some time and we walked through this like portal into a new reality. So after that, you know, we all went somewhere. Most of us, you know, either ended up back in New York or back with family, you know, in our childhood homes. And we really tried to maintain the tether, you know, to find ways to keep ourselves creatively active. And Water for Elephants was one of the things that really saved us, I think, from kind of just, you know, completely mentally decomposing, because there was still urgency behind it. And we're lucky enough that our producers still had a ton of faith in the project. And our director, Jessica Stone, was very eager to continue developing the piece and, you know, to kind of try to, well, you know, I don't want to say make lemonade out of lemons, because that's a little bit diminishing of the global tragedy that was happening. But we were lucky to have each other and this thing to occupy us. And I haven't actually gone back and looked at, you know, pre-pandemic scripts versus post-pandemic drafts, but I would be curious to see what changed. You know, we definitely did a lot of growing in a few years.
You don't have to do the archaeology now, Dan. You're still opening the show.
That's true. I'll wait.
Aria, you published a book. Did you write the majority of that during lockdown as well?
I did, yeah. That was kind of my retreat. I was in Arizona, and, you know, I had always had ideas about how I wanted to utilize poetry and storytelling. And yeah, I just finally got some time. These seven guys were the first people that ever read that book. So that was a really cool moment. I sent that out to them during the pandemic. And it was a really beautiful moment of like, help me. I've done this by myself. What do you guys think? So yeah, I think in that way, I remember Ben, there was a moment in the pandemic where he was being very coy and very wise, as he often is, where he like texted each of us individually being like, hey man, writing a song, wondering if you could help me out. Can you just take a look at these lyrics and like give me a stanza in this format? And I was like, yeah, of course. I was like, wow, Ben's texting me for songwriting. This is beautiful. I would love to collaborate with Ben. I haven't done this in months. So I wrote like a little stanza and sent it over to him. And then of course he revealed that he had done that with all seven of us. And we released this song called Learn To, where each of us had written a stanza, and we had never ever written a song that way. Just like, it just like wasn't. So I think everyone was kind of was looking for new ways of keeping that alive. I love the stuff Big Pen put out over the pandemic. Some of those songs are some of my favorites, man. They're so different and interesting and not what we would usually do. So I'm really grateful for that song.
Learn to love, darling, right from the start. But don't be careless with your heart. There'll be those that tear it apart. Still, learn to love and hope, honey, is not for the weak. Wear your heart proudly on your sleeve. Sometimes you'll see the forest and sometimes the trees. Still, learn to hope.
Pigpen Theatre Company's song Learn To. The Creative Collective has written music and lyrics for the stage musical adaptation of Water for Elephants, which is opening on Broadway tomorrow night. Little Island, curating performing arts at this magnificent funnel-shaped structure that I have walked around, but I haven't seen anything you've done there yet. How did that collaboration happen?
I was actually going to mention that when we were talking about stuff that we got to work on over the pandemic, because while our sort of tenure as artists in residence is now completed, we signed on to do that right at the start of 2020, I think, or maybe right at the end of 2019. They came and saw us in California and said, we'd like for you guys to work here. And, you know, there's going to be an element of you guys developing some stuff with us. There's going to be an element of you guys curating with us, and there's going to be sort of the element of you working with our education department. And we were like, yeah, that sounds amazing. And then the 2020 came, and they were still a year and a half out from being completed. And so while everything was shut down, and, you know, we felt like, oh my gosh, how does theater return in this world? They kept saying, you know, we have time and we're a big outdoor park. We have a lot of hope and we're very optimistic that we're going to continue with this. So, you know, we would have weekly Zooms with them talking about the kinds of artists we wanted to bring onto the island and the kinds of things we wanted to do with them. So it was, that was another sort of project that was a bit of a saving grace for us, in that, you know, it was far enough out that it didn't feel like we had to find the solution to getting everyone in inside together in order to have some art happen. And it is a beautiful island, so we highly recommend everyone go check it out.
One last thing before I let you go. My best friend is directing a production of The Old Man and the Old Moon for Yukon Repertory Theater. He's a professor of puppetry arts there and has his MFA. And he also he was a puppetry mentor for it at University of Utah a couple of years ago. So he's, you know, been around it, which is
familiar.
Yeah. Is it cool for you guys that this work, the other people you've, like, you know, it's just out there for other people to put their interpretations and their puppetry builds and their characterizations on? And is that, I mean, I can't even imagine what that must feel like for you guys. So why don't you tell me and I'll stop talking.
It is so rewarding to know that, and to see it is even better, because I think a lot of us follow, like, if you tag hashtag Tom and Tom or hashtag The Old Man, The Old Moon on Instagram, we're all going to see it, or I'm going
to
see it.
Good to know.
And it is the coolest thing to just kind of go through that handle and be able to see all the different interpretations of the show, meeting people. Like a girl the other night came to see Water for Elephants. It was like, I was the old woman in our production of The Old Man and the Old Moon. And she's like, I was wearing a sweater just like this. And I was like, oh, thanks. And but also that part is so cool. Obviously, Alex, who did it in our production, was wonderful. And in the script, it's like anyone can play anybody. But it does say that Alex played the old woman and then played the sea captain and then was a boatswain here. And they followed it to the T, and understanding that these different, you know, what you, who you are as a person, is you're going to bring something so different and special to all of these different roles, and understanding that new dynamic in this new ensemble fills me with literal like joy. It's so exciting to know that there's this life, this show is a life outside us, and this show that, you know, is so special to like us understanding our sort of creative, you know, worth, like, oh, we've got something special. This is something good. So knowing that, yeah, it's great.
Ryan, you started to answer that one too, but did Curtis basically get it?
Yeah, I think I can't add to that. It's like, yeah, it's so crazy. And also we have two other shows that are now licensable. So one of the cool things about Old Man and the Old Moon is that lots of schools have used it for like, and they've shortened it. They've like, you know, messed around with it to make it short enough to put into like, you know, competitions. And so we have two other shows that are shorter, and they're like 45 minute shows if you do them. So that's going to be a whole nother wave of being amazed by everyone else's creativity and our pride as we watch it happen. It's so cool.
I think what's so cool about it is like, I think there are only so many decisions you can make as artists and creators and as a company, right? And so like one of the things that I think we've always wanted to do is do those two short shows in rep, like back to back. And I just can't wait for somebody to beat us to that. Like, I can't wait to go and watch like Mountain Song in rep with Nightmare Story, because that's just, yeah, those shows are very special.
And it's so exciting to think about like your friend who is a professor of puppetry and what they're going to bring to this story. As you know, we were all just figuring it out, making it up as we go. And I think we found something great, but just the,
you did
that. Yeah. And, but you know, like, I cannot wait to see that.
The fact that you all found each other, I mean, you know, you told me the fact that you all found each other and can keep working like this, it's just magic. And there's so, it's hard to find things that make me smile as much as you guys out there doing your thing. And so, you know, thank you and congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Sarah.
We'll do this in another 10 years.
Oh, I hope sooner. I hope sooner. The musical adaptation of Water for Elephants opens on Broadway tomorrow night. The show is directed by Jessica Stone, features a book by Rick Ellis, and music and lyrics by our guests, Pigpen Theater Company. To learn more, visit waterforelephantsthemusical.com. I'm Sarah LeDuc, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
There's only one road in this godforsaken life. It winds before it plummets from a godforsaken height. But you're gonna have to walk it, so you might as well have fun. Spend that dollar in your pocket while there's holler in your lungs. See Benzini Brothers Circus for a one-night-only run. Ain't it so? The road don't make you. Ain't it so? Before they take it off of you, Lord knows this old road don't make you young. Lord knows the road don't make you young.